I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at ISMG Corp. Today I'm speaking with Anahi Santiago, who is CISO of ChristianaCare. We're going to be discussing cloud security issues. Welcome, Anahi.
Thanks for having me.
So, what are some of the most pressing challenges that you're seeing these days when it comes to health sector entities dealing with cloud security, and why? Is there anything new that's sort of emerging that's been particularly challenging?
So I would say traditionally the cloud landscape has expanded significantly, but even more so currently with the expansion to hospital at home programs and home-based care, simply because the care is taking place outside the four walls of the hospital, and as such, the data that is needed in order to care for those patients has to go up to the cloud. And so we're seeing just an exponential increase in what we have to protect and how we have to protect it.
So what are the challenges in dealing with cloud vendors in hybrid environments and in multi-cloud environments when it comes to the shared responsibility model for PHI security? Is there much passing the buck sort of issues that can arise, and how can that be addressed?
So this is an issue that we have to we deal with often, which is a lot of these third parties that are running on cloud-based environments don't really understand the shared responsibility model. And so they often rely on the third-party attestations from those cloud services providers, which really don't cover the expectations in that shared responsibility model. So part of the challenge is educating them that they have a responsibility to protect the software layer, and that they need to get their own third-party attestations in order to ensure or provide us assurances that their security programs and security controls are working effectively. And although a lot of the providers are getting better at understanding that shared responsibility model, we're still finding that we have to educate and contractually require those vendors to get aligned with the model.
So what are some of the identity and access management issues that you're seeing with cloud providers? Is that changing? You know, is that sort of an issue? What kinds of issues?
It's getting better. A lot of the vendors now understand that federated authentication is a requirement for most organizations. So in layperson's terms, ensuring that we have single sign-on for all of our systems so that we're not having to manage fragmented user IDs and passwords for different cloud-based environments. But I think the identity challenge is that we're not only having to account for our own identities, but we're having to account for the identities that are running on these environments, whether they are privileged identities, the vendors' identities, and now we're really talking about non-human identities like AI agents. And so the complexities, once again, are exponentially increasing, but it's, you know, the identity and access management concepts are almost foundational at this point to any information security program.
So you did mention AI. When you do add AI to the picture, what sorts of evolving cloud security issues come to mind, especially in healthcare, that are, you know, critical for healthcare leaders to be aware of?
Certainly lack of visibility and lack of understanding how those models are functioning, how they've been trained, what LLMs they're using. And when I think about AI, you know, obviously I'm a cybersecurity professional, so I'm thinking about the cybersecurity risks. But the reality of it is, for healthcare, the clinical risks are far greater, in my opinion, than the cybersecurity risks. And our own clinicians really don't understand what those risks really mean to the organization. And so it's a twofold challenge. It's trying to understand from the vendor how these AI models are functioning, and then educating our clinicians, who become very enamored with some of these solutions, around the clinical risks of introducing this type of technology.
And when it comes to the clinical risks with AI, what kind of comes to mind that you most worry about as a cyber leader?
So we're, you know, hallucinations, bias, understanding how much reliance one can put on a particular AI model in assisting with making healthcare-based decisions, because that could lead to potential adverse effects. So in our organization, using this sort of human in the middle concept where a clinician isn't solely relying on a particular solution, but also making a human-based decision before utilizing the final product is really important as these solutions become more mature and as our organization becomes more mature in the utilization of those solutions.
So we're watching the next steps for the proposed HIPAA security rule update. We don't know what's going to happen. Is there anything that stands out in the proposals when it comes to cloud security that you think organizations should be paying attention to? You know, even if the rule isn't finalized, this is something they should be doing that maybe they're overlooking or neglecting or not, you know, paying enough attention to?
So I will say, as a whole, the HIPAA security rule in its proposed state is incredibly prescriptive, and I think it's going to be very difficult and costly to implement it in its current state. Whether you are a large enterprise or a small to mid-sized organization, there's still a lot in there that requires significant investment. That being said, when it comes to the cloud, The same security concepts that we need to implement on-premise still extend to the cloud. So, you know, I keep using the word exponential, but that's essentially what it is. It's the effort is exponential when you're thinking about the different versions of the cloud, right? In many organizations, you've got the public and the private clouds. You've got your infrastructure as a service. Now you've got software as a service. So each different cloud model requires a different approach to cybersecurity, but the HIPAA security rule doesn't differentiate between those. It just says thou must do. So in terms of what organizations should be doing, whether the rule passes or not, certainly the fundamentals, like adopting a framework, whether it's NIST, 405D, HITRUST, whatever, following a specific framework. And then for those that are less mature, I would point them to the CPGs, the cybersecurity performance goals. Start with the essentials and then go with the enhanced. And I think that gives you a really good starting point for what the things are that an organization needs to do in order to have a pretty comprehensive security program across the board.
And finally, is there anything else that we haven't really touched upon that you're watching very closely when it comes to cybersecurity and healthcare? Yeah, I know lots of talk about AI. Is there anything else or anything AI-related?
I mean, AI-related, I think we're all talking about the frontier models, right? Like, I think the hot topic right now is Mythos, with its ability to identify vulnerabilities and develop exploits in a matter of seconds and minutes. And so what we're looking at is how do we transform our vulnerability management programs to be more agile and to keep pace with what these models are going to identify in the future. And, you know, we talk about Mythos, but it doesn't matter. The other providers are also going to come up with these same models. So it's really ensuring that we are staying apace of the technology. And then understanding how the threat actors are wanting to use it, because they're able to launch more sophisticated attacks. And so ensuring that our end users are educated. So it's a lot of the same stuff, just at a faster rate.
Well, thank you, Anahi. I've been speaking to Anahi San Diego. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of ISMG. Thanks for listening.